future. We're talking real money.
Wow. Finally, back in the studio. Hey, welcome back to another edition of Talking Real Money, The Daily Show. I'm Don McDonald. Yes, in the studio again. I'm happy to be back in the studio. I've been traveling. I was out in Seattle for our annual Retire Meet event, which was amazing. It was really good. You want to go, next year's is going to be even better. They just keep getting better every year. This was the best one. Really was terrific. I had a great time. Loved meeting all of you. Thank you all for coming out. And we're going to also try, anyway, depends on how the video comes out, to put Retire Meet in a course format online somehow. We'll get to that later, tell you more about that down the road. But now we're back to regular daily editions of Talking Real Money, the daily podcast. And I have made an executive editorial decision that we are going to do three, because we have two podcasts on the weekend. I'm just going to do three daily podcasts, which means we have a podcast Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So we don't have two podcasts, 2 days. That was kind of silly. So I have one every day for 5 days, maybe throwing something special once in a while, might miss one once in a while. But generally speaking, five podcasts a week is plenty, right? Okay. And remember, you can call the podcast with your questions. We have a lot of them piled up again, so I'm going to get through those at 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255. It's free. It's easy. And also, check out all our stuff at TalkingRealMoney.com. A lot of great stuff there. So just go and check it out anytime. 855-935-TALK, though, is the number to call 24/7. Leave a message. And we will try to get your question answered as soon as possible on the podcast, which forces you to listen every day to get your question answered, too. Not a bad deal. Also, subscribe at Apple Podcasts. Leave a review if you like something. Thanks. All right, today, the main topic, other than a phone call, the big topic is, what is wrong with the media? Now, I am not one of these people who thinks the media goes out of its way to create fake news. I do not believe that there is fake news in the mainstream media. I think there's a ton of fake news online, but I don't think it comes out of the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, USA Today, the Washington Post, ABC News, Fox News. I don't think they do fake news. I think they may have biases, but I don't think they do fake news. However, I do get a little ticked at the media sometimes when they try to make a story out of little, very little. There was an article in the New York Times recently that's the headline was, "What's Really in Your Index Fund?" It sounds, you know, it's like, it says, investors love index funds, but they may not be as transparent as they seem. You guys need to chillax, particularly the SEC guy. This is not that big a deal, but we like these kind of stories because we like to be scared. The Wall Street Journal discovered that MSCI, they are the people who create the global index called the All Country World Index, the ACWI, MSCI, ACWI, which is pretty much all the stocks in the entire world. Now, not too long ago, China said, we're not going to let you do business here. And MSCI licenses their indexes. And they said, we're not going to let you do business here unless you put more Chinese stocks in. So apparently, they put more Chinese stocks in. But what was the real impact of this? Yes, they shouldn't have done it. They shouldn't succumb to pressure from the Chinese government. But the Chinese government, like every other big government in the world, pressures people to get its way. You know the United States does some similar things, right? European countries, Japan, I mean, other countries do this. Now, MSCI probably shouldn't have succumbed, and if they did, they probably should have made it really, really clear. But what did it really do? Was this such a bad thing? Well, I went and looked up the ACWI. There is actually an ETF that is the MSCI ACWI, All Country World Index. And I looked, and China's share of global, here's where we get into some confusion. I'm going to step back a little bit. China is the second biggest economy in the world in terms of gross domestic product. But in terms of market capitalization, it's tiny. half of the global, little over half of the global value of all companies, all the companies on the planet, little over half of that is where? The United States. About 47% is overseas. Of that 47%, only about 3.42%, as of the last numbers I could find, are Chinese stocks. So in terms of market capitalization, the Chinese market is very tiny. So by putting a few more Chinese stocks into the ACWI, did it dramatically change your globally diversified balance in an ACWI index fund? No. The most recent number I could find for the Chinese percentage of the total market index is 3.78%. That makes it the largest of the emerging markets, in the world, but it doesn't even begin to approach the mainstream markets, the larger markets, in terms of like Europe, for example, is 21%. North America is 57%. So yeah, the Chinese economy is a big economy. It's huge. So it should represent a relatively large portion of the market. Japanese economy is 7.5% of the global market capitalization. So is 3.78 a big deal? No. Kind of like a mountain is being made out of a molehill. Now, they did make a point toward the end of this New York Times article, and that is that there are some indexes being created that aren't really indexes. They're really strange things, and there's some work that's been done showing that these customized indexes, you can make an index of almost anything you want, are not really indexes. They're kind of actively managed funds where somebody says, if they're all this, then they're this. Maybe there's a little bit of a stretch there. But if you're trying to buy the entire market and there's a few more stocks in China with a total market fund, it's really not anything to get too worried about. 855-935-TALK is the number here on Talking Real Money Daily. And let's go to the phone.
Hey, Don. This is Matt from Utah. I just wanted to get your opinion. I read an article by Dr. Israelson. He is a professor at Utah Valley University. And his conclusion in his article, if I remember correctly, was the wisest portfolio construction approach is to put 33% in large cap, 33% in mid cap, and 33% in small cap. And that's how I invest. And I was just curious to hear your opinion on that strategy. Thank you for all you and Tom do. I really, really enjoy your podcast.
I believe you're talking about Dr. Craig Israelson, who is a relatively prolific writer on a lot of the investment sites, relatively prolific. I've looked at his stuff, and he really doesn't, if it's the same guy, he really doesn't say a third in large, a third in mid, and a third in small. He's got a much, much, much more diversified approach to that. His approach is similar to what we advocate. Very similar. You have large company, you have small company, you have international, you have REITs, you have bonds based on risk tolerance, that kind of thing. He builds some portfolios based on that, makes a little money doing that, but he's not one of the big wigs. He's really not one of the big wigs in financial academia. Those tend to be the guys who have Nobel laureate after their names. But if you were to build a portfolio the way he suggests with some international and small and mid and large, you're going to be reasonably well diversified. I'm not going to quibble. I could quibble, but why would I quibble when getting something is better than getting nothing? Could you build a better portfolio than just small, mid, and large? I think you could. It's a little more work, so you may not want to. Just make sure you're not paying much in the way of costs. You don't want to have any active funds in your portfolio, any whatsoever. No individual stocks, none, zero, zip. You want to make sure that you're investing for your tolerance and need for risk. Those are two different things. How much volatility can you stand? Find out. Take our risk quiz at TalkingRealMoney.com. But how much volatility do you need? Make sure that you run some numbers trying to determine what your future needs might be so you don't take more risk than you need to take. You know, a lot of people save so well, they're going to have more than enough money in retirement. Why take crazy risk then? It makes no sense. But, I mean, is it the best portfolio? If it's Dr. Craig Israelson, is it the best portfolio I've ever seen? Not by a long shot. I think he misses a lot of asset classes that have shown to provide slightly better returns, of course, with a little extra risk. And he really hasn't gotten into some of the volatility reduction techniques that we believe in, but fine portfolio. It really is. If you want to learn more about money and investing, go to talkingrealmoney.com. If you want to take the risk quiz, do it there. If you want to talk to an advisor for a couple of minutes or an hour even about your portfolio, you don't necessarily want to become a client, you just want to talk to somebody, do it. It's free. It's easy. And we don't do high-pressure sales. We just don't believe in them. Never have. Never as long as I'm there, will we. All bets are off if I'm not there. So give us a call, 855-935-TALK. Visit us at talkingrealmoney.com, and I'll have some more stuff for you tomorrow on Talking Real Money Daily. Please subscribe either on the website, Talking Real Money, or through Apple Podcasts or iTunes, and keep listening. Tell your friends, and take care. I'm Don McDonald.
Talking Real Money. We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for educational and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future. So past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Vestry, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and disclosures. That should keep the lawyers happy.